Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Autistic's Guide to Self-Discovery. Flourishing as a Neurodivergent Adult by Sol Smith is a contemporary self-help and neurodiversity-focused nonfiction book aimed at autistic adults, especially those who are late diagnosed or still trying to make sense of their differences, drawing on Smith's personal experience as an autistic adult. His background as an educator, and references to current research, the book argues for a shift away from masking self-criticism and attempts to become more neurotypical. Instead, it emphasizes self-understanding, self-acceptance, and practical adaptation. The book is designed to help readers reduce shame, identify sensory and social needs, manage burnout, and build more workable routines at home, at work, and in relationships. Its overall purpose is not to clinically explain autism in a detached way, but to offer an affirming framework for living more authentically and sustainably as a neurodivergent adult. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a self-acceptance model that replaces masking with practical autism understanding. A central idea in the book is that many autistic adults spend years trying to compensate for experiences that were never explained to them in a useful way. The book's value lies in reframing autism as an identity to understand rather than a problem to conceal. That shift matters because it changes the goal from imitation to self-knowledge. Instead of asking how to appear more typical, the reader is encouraged to ask what specific conditions support function, comfort, and emotional stability. This makes the book especially relevant for late-diagnosed adults who may already have internalized years of misinterpretation. The practical implication is that acceptance is not presented as passive reassurance. It becomes a working principle for deciding how much social performance is sustainable, which environments are manageable, and which demands should be reduced rather than endured. Secondly, burnout prevention through routine, energy management, and reduced overload. Another major theme is autistic burnout, which the book treats as a real consequence of chronic overextension, sensory strain, and prolonged self-suppression. Rather than framing burnout as a personal failure, Smith connects it to the cumulative cost of living in ways that ignore autistic limits. The book highlights basic maintenance practices such as sleep, nutrition, exercise, and deliberate reduction of responsibilities. But the deeper point is about energy accounting. Readers are encouraged to notice where their social, cognitive, and sensory reserves are being depleted, then adjust expectations accordingly. This is important because many advice books focus on productivity without addressing the recovery costs of executive strain. Here, rest is not an indulgence. It is part of functional stability. The emphasis on deeply engaging interests also reflects a neurodivergent recovery model, where meaningful focus can restore capacity rather than drain it. The result is a practical framework for preventing collapse instead of simply reacting after burnout has already occurred. Thirdly, explaining sensory and perceptual differences in everyday language, the book stands out for trying to make autistic cognition and perception easier to describe in ordinary terms. It includes discussions of bottom-up processing, eye contact discomfort, and the way some autistic people experience faces, interaction, and social attention differently from neurotypical expectations. This matters because many autistic adults know that certain situations feel wrong or exhausting, but do not have language for why. Smith's approach helps turn vague discomfort into analyzable experience. That is useful both personally and socially personally, because it reduces self-doubt, and socially, because it can improve communication with clinicians, family members, partners, and employers. The book does not appear to aim at technical neuroscience. Rather, it translates cognitive difference into usable self-description. This translation is a key strength because it bridges the gap between lived experience and practical explanation. For readers who have been told they are overreacting, antisocial, or simply anxious, having a clearer model of sensory and perceptual processing can be validating and operationally helpful. Fourthly, building autism-friendly relationships. Work habits and home routines. The book is organized around the idea that flourishing depends on fit between the person and the environment, not on forcing a fixed personality into every setting. Smith repeatedly applies his framework to daily life, including work, relationships, and home responsibilities. This is a useful distinction because many autism books stay at the level of identity or diagnosis, while this one connects self-understanding to concrete functioning. The practical question it raises is not whether an autistic adult can perform in a neurotypical world, but what supports are needed to make that performance less costly and more sustainable. That includes recognizing communication styles, clarifying social expectations, and deciding when to conserve energy rather than overcommit. The book, therefore, treats autonomy as a management principle. Readers are encouraged to design routines and boundaries that reflect their actual capacities, not idealized ones. In category terms, this makes the book less about insight alone and more about translating insight into daily structure. Lastly, a neuroaffirming guide that blends memoir, advice, and accessible research, the book's structure appears to combine personal narrative, educational experience, and selected research in a way that is meant to be approachable rather than clinical. That blend is part of its appeal and also part of its limitation. For readers seeking an empathetic introduction to adult autism, the mix of memoir and guidance can make the material feel lived in and credible. It also helps normalize the idea that late diagnosis often comes with confusion, grief, and retrospective reinterpretation of past experiences. At the same time, some readers have noted that the book is not especially dense or novel in its research presentation, which suggests it is best understood as an accessible entry point rather than a technical reference. That positioning is important. Its contribution is not that it invents a new theory of autism, but that it packages familiar neuroaffirming ideas into a direct, supportive, and usable adult self-discovery guide. In a crowded self-help field, that combination of clarity, affirmation, and practical orientation is what gives it a distinct place. This book is best suited to autistic adults, especially those who were diagnosed late, have spent years masking, or are trying to understand why everyday life has felt harder than it should. It will also be useful for parents, educators, clinicians, and allies who want a more affirming view of adult autism that emphasizes adaptation rather than correction. Readers looking for a highly technical clinical text may find it relatively accessible and personal, but those qualities are also what make it effective for its intended audience. The main benefit is that it helps translate autistic experience into language that supports self-recognition, reduced shame, and more realistic planning around energy, sensory needs, and burnout. Compared with many books in the autism self-help category, it stands out for its strongly neuroaffirming stance and its focus on everyday sustainability rather than treatment or normalization. It does not try to make autistic adults more typical. Instead, it offers a framework for living with greater clarity, less self-blame, and more control over the conditions that shape functioning. If you would like to support Sol Smith, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.